Welcome to the Catch Up Podcast, where Christian friends come together to catch up and explore God-centered conversations. Our goal is to inspire, share stories, and deepen our faith in light of the gospel. Without further ado, let's journey together in this week's episode of the Catch Up Podcast.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of the Catch Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark. I'm here with my co-host.
What's up, y'all? Elias Portillo. My bad. He was looking at me like, here.
Yes.
And I didn't receive it.
No, dude. How you been, Elias?
I'm good, bro. I missed last week, bro.
I know, dude. What did you do, bro? What the heck?
Bro, so what happened was I'm so used to... So normally our shoot time is around 1:30. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, 1:30 shoot time, 1:30 shoot time. This time he hit me with a curveball and it said 12:30, but I didn't read 12:30. I read 1:30. So whenever he was like, hey, are you coming? I was getting a haircut and I was trying to look fresh and look good for my birthday, because my birthday came up and I'm 22 now.
He's 22. He's
in the Taylor Swift era. Feel like 22. Ooh.
Okay.
I don't even listen to her, but yeah. I had a very fun weekend, and this guy, this Joker, this Jack knew about my surprise birthday party. I've never had one of those, and I'm very salty that he didn't come.
Okay, I thought... Okay, never mind.
I'm playing, bro. I love you.
I was like, I say, bro. I knew what was happening, but like, I don't deserve you, bro.
No one deserves me.
I don't deserve to be in your presence.
Wow. That's how I feel about Jesus.
Exactly. That we all do.
But I'm not Jesus, so we can be friends. We can be...
Oh, no. Jesus is up there. Like, you're like a next level kind
Facts,
of holiness.
Yeah. But anyways, we're catching up, right?
Yeah, we can just get...
So... After that birthday weekend thing came through, I finally made a decision to fully take my talents to South Beach. And
damn, bro, you leaving Ohio? What the heck?
No, so that's a basketball reference. So I had been helping at our Generations venues for a long time at Trinity Fellowship. Nice. And God's been tugging on my heart too. And I've been kind of teasing about how much I've been at Espanol, but I haven't fully immersed myself there yet. But I finally decided to make the decision to fully plug myself into Espanol worship. So I won't be a generational worship leader anymore. But it came with its good things. It came with its... it came with its perks and it helped me grow as a worship leader, but it was time to do something new. So we are now at Espanol full time and pouring into people and discipling and speaking in Spanish and giving prophetic words in Spanish now. It's crazy. Okay. So I'm excited.
Are you going to be working there full time?
The hope is for that to happen, but right now I'm still in facilities and events. I'm still working in housekeeping, and I'm still loving it and I'm still enjoying it. But for the time being, I will be fully at Espanol, but I'll also be fully a housekeeper.
Okay. Dang, dude.
But that's the goal. That's the hope. We'll see what God does.
Yeah.
God always does things.
That's still ministry, bro. Cool. That's still ministry. Mm-hmm. But anyways, dude. So we got the catch up, man. So today, our topic for today.
Can we catch up with you, bro? Like, what's
no,
up with you?
Sorry, no, dude. I'm depressed this whole week. So that's why?
No, 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 no.
I don't
no,
even
no.
know
Just
why.
Allow me to be a friend. Allow me to be a comforter. What's going on?
I don't know.
Allow me to be.
I've been depressed.
Why?
I don't know, bro.
Is it problems with, you know, finances or?
No, it's something beyond that. I think I don't know. Okay, let's not talk about.
Oh my goodness, I'm sorry.
But no, it's okay.
We'll talk about it off camera.
God is still sovereign.
Off camera,
He's
we'll
good.
Talk about it.
Nah, it's okay.
Okay.
But this is not gonna be my therapy session, all right?
Okay.
Podcast is not a therapy session.
I just wanted to see how you were, and you told me you're sad, so now I don't know how to feel.
Pray for me.
I will
there
pray,
you go, listeners. Pray for me.
Yes. Pray for Mark Artius. Pray for specific things.
God is still good.
God is so good.
Amen.
So, amen and always.
But anyways, our topic, Elias, for today is about forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
So as a Christian, Elias, mm-hmm. when you became a follower of Christ, how did your perception of forgiveness change?
Well, when I became a follower of Christ, I've been a follower of Christ my entire life, but when I fully started understanding it, my perspective changed from forgiveness isn't about that person. It's about you getting over it. It's mm-hmm. about you choosing to say, hey, even though I wasn't okay with this, even though this really hurt me, I'm going to take the initiative and the choice to say, I'm going to get through it. And because I love you.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about like, how did, like you not now, since you're like walking with Christ, how did the gospel change your view? Or how did forgiveness impacted your life?
forgiveness impacted my life whenever I read through the gospel. Basically, mostly it was with just understanding that all of my sins were paid for on a cross and he forgave me even before I even committed them.
Yeah.
Like even before I did anything, he forgave me and he chose to say, I love you. And this is more than just holding the grudge. This is more than just, I mean, he was perfectly a man. He could have said, nah, like he literally told the Father, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to do this, but he did it and he went through it because he was so selfless. And that just, to me, that reflects maybe I need to be more selfless. Maybe I need to be easier to forgiving people and not holding grudges and not allowing those grudges to hurt me.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is that? Like, what do you think it's hard for not just us Christians, but people in general to forgive? What do you think that's like something that our culture today is like, they have a hard grasp on that?
Well, it's because we're prideful. We're prideful as human beings. Am I supposed to be staring right here? Or looking at you? I mean,
it doesn't matter, bro.
Okay. Well,
if you're talking to me, of course you gotta look at me.
We're prideful, you know, as early as a child, maybe for me, I was 7 years old whenever I started seeing things in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that was verbal. None of that was directed towards me, but most of conversation is whenever your mouth is closed and whatever you're seeing through people and the perspective of what they have. And so I started seeing signs of bitterness, of prideful things, and that rubs off on you as a kid. Like you start thinking that way. You start I can't forgive this person because they did this. And then it just goes on to a loophole where realistically there is a lot of internal vows being made as you grow up. And whenever you finally get to the point where you're walking with Jesus, you're like, these internal vows aren't okay. These are strongholds in my life. So this is something that I've been talking to people about. The longer you believe a lie, the more truthful it sounds.
That's good. Yeah, that's
so
true.
The longer I believed that, you know, this person hated me, this person was this person was that, the longer it became more true to me. You see, I was bullied very, very badly in third grade. And I'm just going to kind of give a story if you're okay with that.
You're good, bro.
So I remember being a part of a friend group, and I've never been a part of a friend group in my entire life. And that's something that I prayed for as a kid, like as a complete kid. I was like, I just want friends. I want people to, you know, shoot a basketball with, kick a soccer ball, you know, people to do life with. And, you know, I finally found a friend group and I was walking with them, boom, 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 boom. And then at the end of the year, they're like, no, we're just playing. You weren't our friend. You actually are a loser.
Dang,
like, you
suck. Bro, what the heck?
And that to me developed so much trust issues that I couldn't trust people as friends. I couldn't trust people as acquaintances. Like I completely shut myself off and I started developing those internal vows of like, man, I'm not worthy of being a friend. Or, man, these people suck. Like, I hate them. Like, I'm never going to allow them to be in my life. I'm never going to let anyone treat me like that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And those are those internal vows that if you're not careful with it, it will drive you crazy.
That's true, yeah.
Pastor Jimmy talks about this this sermon about a lot about this guy who he wasn't allowed to drink Coke as a kid.
Okay.
Or any type of soda. And it got to the point where he was like, whenever I get out the house, I'm going to drink as much Coke as I want. And then when he got out the house, the only thing he would drink was Coke, and his fridge was filled. Like his pantries were filled. Like it was just Coke, 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 soda. And it'll drive you crazy. As many times do you listen to that internal lie, it becomes truthful. It becomes truthful. And so, that became truthful to me that I wasn't worthy, that I sucked, and that people were never for me. And I carried that into middle school. I carried that into high school. Middle school, I had a huge identity crisis where I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
And it was because I was bullied. You know, people kept saying offensive things to me. Just because I didn't play football and I loved to sing, that I was gay. So I kept hearing that gay, 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 you're gay, you're gay, you're gay because you don't do this, you're gay because you don't do that. Oh, you like boys. And I started, again, the longer you listen to a lie, the more truthful it sounds. So I started thinking, okay, maybe I am gay.
Dang.
You know, maybe I do like guys. Maybe I am attracted to men. And the Lord quickly met me at that point because I never did anything at that point.
Okay.
But I started to develop these walls. Like, I'm never going to talk to this person. I'm never going to forgive them. Like, look at how they treated me. Like, they treated me so unfairly and so poorly that I why would I forgive them? Like, what's the point? What is that going to do for me? Like, they're obviously not even sorry about this. Like, they don't even care. Mm. And I think that's the part that got me. People weren't going to be sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just going to hear the apology and be like, oh, okay.
Dang. So how does that kind of, like, tie in? Like, would you say, like, that trauma that you, not trauma, but, like, that offense that you went through, and how did that allow you to have the opportunity to forgive those people?
Well, there was an opportunity in time where I actually did deliverance, freedom ministry.
Okay.
At Trinity, a pastor reached out to me and they're like, hey, we feel like this would be a really good place for you to, you know, to talk and lay some grounds and, you know, mm-hmm. talk about some things that you're going through. And a practice that they did was it was literally a whole topic about forgiveness. Mm. And what I had to do was I had to recite every name in my head that I can think of that I had to forgive.
Okay.
So I'd be like, oh, my mom, oh, my dad, oh, this person. And as I kept reciting it over and over and over, you know, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit coming over me. And I felt a joy that I've never felt in my life. But at the same time, I also felt spiritual warfare at first.
Dude.
Because I didn't. It was crazy, dude. Like, I was shaking. I was trying to yell. I was trying to scream. Like, something was coming out of me that day. Mm. Like, literally. And I felt so light that I didn't want to move. But again, whatever was inside of me was replaced with peace, was replaced with comfort, was replaced with, hey, just because you have these personal vendettas against these people, it doesn't mean that you have to hold it against them. Mm. You will never progress. You will never grow if you have grudges against people.
That's good. Yeah.
If you continue to listen to these lies, you will never grow and you will never walk into what I have for you until you do that. So forgiveness has been something that is so big and so heavy on my heart, especially with my father. I don't have a father figure in my life. He left my life when I was 3. Mm. And I've tinted this a little bit, but this is the full story. My dad left my life, and what I was told was that he just got deported, like that he didn't have his papers or whatever, and they caught him, you know, la migra caught him.
Yeah.
And whenever I used to write to him every single day whenever he was in jail, and he would write back to me, and we had this amazing relationship where it was just boom, boom, boom. I write, he write. And my mom finally came to me on my 12th birthday, and I remember this vividly, and she's like, this is the time where I'm going to tell you what your dad actually did. And what my dad actually did was he had a sexual affair with a minor while being with my mom. And she was 15. And so hearing that as a 12-year-old, you don't know what that means.
Mm, yeah.
But then the enemy starts chirping in your ear. Mm. How could he do this to you? You should never love him. You should never write back to him. You should hate him. Mm-hmm. And little by little, as time after time, I developed the actual hatred for my father. Like, and I was like, wow, if this guy's not going to be for me, what guy is ever going to be for me? Mm. And so I started attaching myself to father figures in my life because that was the void that I was missing. I didn't have a dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And so each time I'd go to one, each one would disappoint me every single time. And every single time I put a wall and I say, I hate you. I can't stand you. I never want to be in your presence again. And those lies, again, it turned true. Mm. Till finally, I sat down, I was like, someone asked me, they're like, would you ever want to see your dad again? Like, would you ever want to visit him in Honduras? Because I'm Honduran. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I hate him. Wow. Like, look what he did to me. Look what he did to my family. If he was in my life, I wouldn't be struggling. I wouldn't be going through that. Mm. And the crazy part was I was walking through that with one of my pastors, and he said, the reason why you don't have a great relationship with God, the Father, is because you haven't had any relationship with the Father and now in general.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was like, wow. Like, look at this. You think you're abandoned. You think he doesn't love you. Mm-hmm. You were treated badly. And now what is your perspective of God? Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. That makes sense. So now that's when I'm walking into that. Okay. Forgiveness isn't for them. It's for me to heal. Mm-hmm. Because if I say, hey, I forgive you, what does that do for them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
no, you're right.
Closure, yeah. Reassurance. Mm-hmm. But for me, this is forgiveness is spiritual. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness isn't materialistic. It's a spiritual thing where you're healing from it and you're allowing yourself to say, okay, even though I don't want to do this, I'm going to constantly choose to do this, and I'm going to turn and I'm going to repent and I'm going to change my mind to the thoughts that I was thinking before and I'm going to love them.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. So you said something about healing. Can you like explore a little bit like the connection between forgiveness and healing, like both emotionally and spiritually, like in accordance to your experience?
So with my experience, healing took constant prayer. Mm-hmm. It took constant prayer. It took constantly me saying, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And I still have to do it to this day. Mm-hmm. Like, dad, I forgive you. Bully number one, I forgive you. Bully number two, I forgive mm-hmm. you. Teacher number one, I forgive you. Mom, dad, I have to do it constantly. Otherwise, I'm going to let the enemy chirp in my ear and allow me to listen to an internal vow that I've already killed.
Yeah.
So that healing comes from spending time with the Father, spending time mm-hmm. with the Lord, and, you know, reading the gospel, understanding that Jesus was sent down mm-hmm. to heal us, yeah. to save us. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the most beautiful love story I could ever read.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that the more you read into the gospels, the more you kind of like visualize, like, yeah. okay, I didn't, you know, I'm people offended me and like mm-hmm. kind of like that. And then, but like, yeah. but here's the worst part about us is like us, you know, being creatures of God, we've offended God and yeah. we've sinned against God, not against other people, but against God. Psalm 51 said that. And, but his response to us offending God is not him being angry. It's not him being like disappointed. His response was forgiveness.
Yes.
His response was Jesus. Right. Then like scripture says like the Jesus was killed at the very foundation of the world, meaning that at, you know, like we are bought by the precious blood of Christ and the very foundation of the world. That means yeah. like the sacrifice of Christ was plan A from the beginning. He knows we're going to mess up. And in response to that was forgiveness. And I think that kind of humbles you whenever someone offends you of kind of mm-hmm. like, oh shoot, this is how much I've been forgiven. Who am I to not extend that forgiveness to other people, you know?
Exactly. And we're always going to be offended, bro.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like, it's something that, you know, I'm not going to lie. I probably get offended every single day. I mean, it's
by Christians and non-Christians.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I get offended like, oh, this guy's cooler than me. Or, hey, this guy, I could do this better than this guy. Or, yeah. oh, hey, you shouldn't have said that to me. Or you shouldn't have treated me that way. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the coolest stories in the Bible is you have to be humbled. Mm. You have to be humbled. And I think of Joseph in prison a lot. Mm. I think of Joseph in prison because, you know, he was promised such an amazing plan. You know, God, yeah. God said you were going to be at the right hand of Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And he was a jerk about it mm-hmm. to his brothers. Like yeah. I used to think, and I was talking with my friend Garang about this, mm. is that we used to like think the brothers were the bad people. But in mm. reality, he was the one instigating everything.
Yeah.
Like he was the one. And he had
have a vision.
And he had to get thrown into prison.
Yeah.
You know, and he had to go through all these things. But through that, his spirit grew. He forgave his family. You know, he grew maturely. And you have to allow yourself to be in those prison seasons where people are gonna offend you. Mm-hmm. People are gonna hurt you. But what God's how do I word this? The next season that God has for you is on the opposite side of an offense. Mm. It's on the opposite side of being offended. Mm. And it's how you respond to it. You know, that's something that God spoke to me a lot last year. Is like, how are you going to respond? Mm. How are you going to respond?
Offense?
To yeah. offense, to whatever, a position being taken that I wanted. How are you going to respond? Someone that I like, they ended up dating someone. How are you going to respond? Mm. You know, all these things. So that was something that the Lord really took me through last year, was how do I respond? Do I respond in forgiveness? Do I respond in blessing them? Mm-hmm. Or do I respond in boastfulness, angerness, mm-hmm. hatefulness? And it's just hard, bro.
Yeah, it is
hard. It's hard, and you have to constantly die to yourself every single day exactly. and choose to forgive.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why like forgiveness is hard, is because we want justice, mm-hmm. like immediate justice. You know,
I'm kind of like I want you to understand how bad you made me feel.
Exactly. It's like I want you to feel
what you made me feel 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Like that's just being a prick, bro.
Dude, that is fact. So can you discuss like the relationship between like forgiveness and justice, and how like can us Christians navigate, you know, seeking accountability while also mm-hmm. extending forgiveness? Because of course, like there has to be some sort of kind of like accountability that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. But how do you kind of navigate that?
Well, justice is never the answer. Justice is prideful. Justice is never going to get you anywhere, because that's being internally like me. Mm-hmm. This is how they made me feel. So I'm going to make them feel the exact same way that you made me feel. Okay. And that's not godly.
Yeah.
That's not a godly thought. That's a thought from the enemy that was corrupted, that was turned into, let's make it about you and let's make them go through absolute hell. Mm-hmm. Let's make them go through absolute torture and make them feel like trash. Mm-hmm. And that's not godly. You have to respond in the you have to operate in forgiveness, because if you don't, it's going to eat you up. It's going to tear you alive, and you're just going to be a bitter person.
Okay. I want to play devil's advocate here, but like, what if like someone, let's just say, and again, sensitivity alert. What if someone was sexually assaulted?
Uh-huh.
And does that require forgiveness or justice?
That requires forgiveness.
Yeah?
Yeah, because God didn't do that. That was someone else imposing on their free will.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to ruin your life.
Okay.
That wasn't the Father. That wasn't the Lord.
So that person should not be held accountable for what they did?
Oh, you're talking about the other person.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They should go to jail.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that's like the...
Sorry, I don't think I was hearing you correctly.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So like the relationship between forgiveness and justice, basically like, okay, so I'll forgive this person, but is justice still a thing?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So how do my question is, how do we navigate that while like there has to be some sense of accountability,
uh-huh.
but at the same time I'm gonna extend them forgiveness. How can we have those things be in that same, I don't know, like in the same umbrella, or are they in the same umbrella?
I'll say I wouldn't keep it just between the, so give me an example.
So let's just say someone from church
mm-hmm.
is sexually assaulted by a church leader.
Okay.
And then the person who was assaulted said, okay, well, I'm a Christian. Maybe Jesus, you know, Jesus died for that person's sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to forgive them. But you don't reach out to anybody about it. Was that a healthy way of approaching that?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Offense, or?
Because that's going to tear someone else's life if they don't open up about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're being sexually assaulted or if you're being abused and you're not opening up about it, you're allowing the enemy to stay with you in the darkness. Like you mm-hmm. have to bring that to light and you have to bring that to fruition. And the Lord disciplines his children.
Mm-hmm.
So even if that's a Christian leader, he's still going to discipline you.
Mm.
He's going to discipline you and say, hey, that was not right. I love you. But he's going to act like a father mm-hmm. and he's going to lay down the law. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important. Some people are so afraid of being disciplined.
Mm.
Of that justice,
okay,
that they don't do anything about it.
Mm. Okay, so how about, let's just say, because like, I mean, you kind of talked about it earlier,
mm-hmm.
how like, you know, of course we forgive them, but like, but doesn't kind of like showing like, or like asking for justice for like how they offended you is a sort of kind of like unforgiveness, or that's not entirely the case?
I wouldn't say so. That's just laying down the law. Like you did something wrong, so now you have to serve time for that.
Yeah, you have to do the consequence.
And even though I forgive, that's just like me saying like, oh, you kicked me in the nuts. I forgive you, but mm-hmm. like that's not cool, dude. Like,
yeah,
I'm not gonna allow you to be near me because mm-hmm. I'm setting bound. I'm guarding my heart.
There you go.
I'm protecting my heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm allowing myself to say, even though I forgive them, I can't allow myself to be around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to allow other people to deal with that. Because okay. I'm not going to be a person in that person's life anymore because, you know, I'm a human as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's strike three for you.
Yeah.
Like, I have to take myself away and I have to distance myself. If this is a toxic relationship
mm.
or this is a toxic thing that I'm in, I can't be a part of that no more. Like, I have to allow mm-hmm. other people to take care of that.
Okay.
Because that's not my responsibility. It's not my duty. But it is my duty to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's constantly, that's going to be a constant, I forgive you for this. I constantly forgive you for this.
Okay.
And a lot of the times when you forgive people, no one hears it. Like mm-hmm. a lot of the times you're saying forgiveness in your head and they're not even going to hear the other end of that.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
But because when you realize forgiveness is for me, it's going to be easier for you to say that. Because a lot of people are like, I just need to forgive. Like I need to call them and I need to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need to have a conversation one-on-one. No, a lot of that internal forgiveness is just by yourself
yeah.
and with the Lord.
So would you say forgiveness is a sense of like, letting go of the offense and taking it before God
yeah
and saying that is okay, God, you take care of this justice, while like mm-hmm. there's still like there's also like you said accountability here yeah. on earth of like,
and a thing that you were talking about is like there's a difference between being a forgiving person and being a pushover.
Okay, yeah. So how do you kind of, for someone who is a Christian or is a Christian young adult who's going through that mm-hmm. of like having the dilemma of like, okay, I should be forgiving, but You know, like, cause like some people, like they go to the extent of being a pushover, and they think of themselves, I'm just being a forgiving Christian. So how do you kind of like navigate, how do you navigate that and approach that in a healthy way?
So would you want to tolerate your friend, or do you want to love them? Mm.
What do you mean by that?
Do you want to tolerate someone? Do you want to be able to like I'm tolerating that this person does this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that. Oh, but they say that they love me. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to tolerate all those bad qualities, or do you want to remove yourself from that and go towards, you know, an actual godly friendship that the Lord has for you? Mm. Like, there's, whenever I was a pushover, like I allowed myself to be a doormat where people would just scrape their feet on me. And I was okay with it because I was like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Mm. It's whatever. And that it's fine. It's whatever mindset is not really the thing.
Okay.
It's not the thing at all. It's just allowing yourself to be a punching bag. Mm. Like, oh, they said this. Oh, they said that. But I'm still okay. I'm still standing. I'm still alive.
Okay.
But that's not okay, because deep down, you're going to store so much anger, so much hatred, that you're going to explode at some point. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're going to let it all out and you're going to rage. An example of this for me was whenever I dropped out of college. My parents were not very happy about it. My mom was definitely not happy about it. And she was like, did you drop out of school? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, okay, well, you need to find a job yesterday. And so I was looking for a job. She's like, actually, scratch that. You're going to work in concrete with your stepdad.
Dang.
And me, I'm not an outside worker. I'm not working in the 95 degree sun. I'm not exactly built to be a concrete worker.
It's a good workout, man. I'm telling
you. It's an amazing workout. But it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, man, this rebar is heavy. This this concrete is heavy. And I was so angry that my mom decided for me to do that I was like, okay, it's fine. It's whatever. And as I continue to progress, I'm like, mom, I found another job. She's like, okay, you're going to still work there until you actually work there. And I was like, mom, like, this is not fair. Like, just look at what I've been through. Like, look at what's going on. She's like, it's okay. I understand. Mm. There's consequences to, you know, dropping out of college. Like, you're going to have to work. And so I'm still, blah, 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 blah. And finally I explode. Mm. Like, I'm like, I finally had enough. And I'm like, left this, F that, blah, 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 blah. And I just like, I literally was just like pacing and like smiling and walking around like a crazy mad person. Like, it was like I was being attacked by the enemy. Mm-hmm. You can't allow yourself to get to that breaking point. Mm-hmm. If you're tolerating someone for so long and you're allowing yourself to just get punched, punch, 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 eventually you're going to have a bruise on your side. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have a bruise on your other side. And then you have a bruise on your leg, and you're going to be wondering why you're bruised up. Mm-hmm. It's because you're tolerating it, and it's not saying, hey, don't punch me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not your punching bag.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Jesus say in scriptures that, because Peter asked, hey, how many times should I forgive my brother? And then Jesus said seven times.
Yeah.
So how does that connect to like not being a pushover?
Repeat that one more time.
So Jesus said that we must forgive 70 times seven, meaning forgive as much as you can. But at the same time, like what you said, don't be a pushover. Mm. How do you kind of like reconcile that dilemma of, okay.
I would say having boundaries.
Okay.
Having boundaries in how you communicate with the person.
Okay.
Or how you, if this person is just being verbally abusive, be around a group of people so that doesn't happen. Or allow other people to see what's happening.
Yeah.
So other people can sit them down. Other people can talk to them. Because if you talk to them one-on-one, it's not, in my experience, nothing's ever changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because some people are dealing with emotional trauma that allow them to be narcissistic. That they're one-sided and they have the victim mentality.
That is true.
Because if you have a victim mentality and you're approaching someone that, you know, that is knocking your buttons a little bit, and you're being a pushover to them, when you finally say something, they were like, oh, but look at what you did. Look at what you said to me. And now you're in the hot seat, and now you feel like crap because you're being manipulated now.
That's true.
And so how do you get out of that situation? You just can't allow yourself to be there. You lay down the law and be like, hey, this was not okay, but I choose to forgive you. But now going and pushing forward, I'm not going to allow this anymore. Like, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to talk about this anymore, because it only leads us to, you know, being bitter and getting in arguments and fights.
Yeah.
And I'm just allowing myself to take what the words that you're saying to me, and they're not okay. Mm-hmm. But I love you and I forgive you.
Yeah.
As a brother and a sister in Christ.
That's a good response to that kind of like abuse.
Yeah.
tolerance. But so there's a passage in Matthew where Jesus actually talks about what you just said, almost similar to that. But so in verse 15, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Mm-hmm. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Meaning he says, okay, start it off just by yourselves.
Yeah.
Tell them like, okay, we had to talk about the offense, what you just made. Are you going to repent? Are you going to, because I'm willing to extend that forgiveness for you.
Yeah.
And he says, but if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Mm-hmm. And I think what, you know, Christ is saying here is like, if you want to resolve a conflict, always include community,
yeah,
and include your church, but know that regardless of either of those situations, I'm there and I see it.
Yeah.
And I'm justice, and I know in judgment day, I'm going to hold that accountable.
Again, and the Lord sees conversations that aren't even present.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like the Lord sees whenever people are talking behind your back.
That's true.
And the Lord's going to bring justice to that.
Amen. But it's not your job to do
justice. No. It's the Father. So Mark, a question that I have for you is that if there's been a person in your life that you've struggled forgiving, why has it been so hard? Like why are certain people, like there's people like, oh, it's easy to forgive you, like you're fine. But why is certain people that are like, they tug on the strings of your heart that are like, I'm not going to forgive them. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's so difficult to forgive those people? Because some people are easy to forgive.
Like, give me an example of a situation.
I don't know if I can give an example. It's just like, think about people in your life that, you
like,
know.
Like it's easy to forgive your friends, but there are some people that you don't like. And then when they offended you, you just.
Some people you just choose not to forgive them.
Just because.
Like, why do you think that's our tendency sometimes? That's to like, I don't want to choose to forgive them. Like, if I choose to forgive them, then I have to pray. Then I have to do this and that. And in reality, I don't feel called to forgive this person or something, you know. Because there's been people in my life where I'm like, I know I probably should forgive you, mm-hmm. but I don't want to forgive you. I don't want to be the better person. I don't want to do this the godly way. Like, what do you think causes that mindset?
I think it's the desire to take the role of being God. Mm. And I think, and this is just me personally, because I've now that I think about it, I do have that instances where like, okay, you've hurt me so much. I don't know if I even have the guts to forgive you. Because I feel
I don't even want to say the word.
Exactly. Yeah. Because yeah. if I forgive you, that means I'm just like letting this whole thing pass by. And again, is that what you?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yes.
And I think the reason why is because, and this is me personally, mm-hmm. I don't think people think this way, but I think I'm assuming that it is my position that to give them that forgiveness because they've offended me so hard that I don't even think that okay they've offended God first, and I feel like. Mm-hmm. There are times when I think that me being unforgiving is me punishing them, mm-hmm. where in reality it's actually me punishing myself.
Yeah,
for like holding
it's
kind on.
It's
to
like
that.
It's kind of backwards.
It's kind
like,
of backwards. It is very backwards, and I think the reason why again is because we want to take the role of God, and I think we do that in every aspect of our
lives.
It's
because we want control.
We want control.
We want control over the situation. I want to control the people I forgive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that's what it is. But again, like, and I, okay, I'm going to share something like here and
go ahead.
I've shared it with some people. I think I've shared it with Alex and Tack in our group at the time. But, so when I was nine, mm-hmm. I've been hurt by someone that I didn't expect to hurt me.
Yeah.
Someone that I really loved. And it wasn't just a normal hurt. It was actually, I was sexually assaulted when I was nine.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
By someone that I didn't expect that will do that. And I held that person, I hold a grudge against that person for the rest of my life until 2 years ago. And this person is basically the reason why I got addicted to pornography. why I almost indulged in homosexuality when I was, I guess, 12 or 13. And when we kind of reconnected 2 years ago, I told him about how much he messed him, how much he messed me up, because my addiction to pornography is way through the roof. And I told him, this is your fault. I hate you for this. But while I said that, I feel like it's the Lord working in me that this whole burden was lifted off. And yet, even after I said, you messed me up, I hate you for that, I said, either way, I forgive you. And this person was weeping. He was asking why. And I said, because the reason why I'm forgiving you is because Christ has forgiven me. And that forgiveness that he gave me, all I can do is share that with you, because he also died for you on the cross. And he was weeping. And at that time, he became a Christian. And I told him about the thief on the cross. And he was like, how could a person, or how could a God love me like that? And especially, how could you forgive me like that? And I told him about the gospel. I told him, because I've been forgiven this much. And I know how much I've offended God. And I know how much you've offended me. But either way, God's response to my sin was forgiveness, love, and grace. For you, I know that God, your sin was satisfied, or the justice against your sin was satisfied on the cross. That was your punishment there. If I believe that, that means I have to extend the forgiveness from you. And that person became a Christian. And now we talk as if nothing happened, because that's the power of the gospel. I've talked to countless people about it, my mentors. First time I actually opened up about it, dude, I was weeping. I was bawling, because I didn't realize how the gospel changed my perception of forgiveness and how the gospel changed that person's heart at the time. And I think when you try to withhold forgiveness from someone, that I think we're taking the role of God. But whenever we let go and say, okay, God, I am not the God. I'm not the person that he offended or she offended, but it was you. Because Psalm 51 says, when David lusted over Bathsheba and killed her husband, David's response was, okay, I didn't sin against them. I sinned against you and you alone. So I think whenever we had that mindset of like, okay, they didn't offend me, they offended God. And yet, if they're a Christian, God forgave them and God died for their sins. Who am I not to extend that forgiveness for them? But again, going back to accountability, though, if they hurt you, if it's so severe to the reality that like, okay, someone has to be present here. I think what also Jesus was saying, like, I am there too. But they gotta, like what you're saying earlier, they gotta serve the time, they gotta serve the consequences of that sin. But I think when we kind of like just think about the gospel, there's a quote by C.S. Lewis where he says, God has forgiven the inexcusable in us, so we also have to forgive the inexcusable in others. And for me, right now, I mean, it's not easy to forgive someone, but when I'm reminded of the gospel, I'm humbled to forgive people.
Yeah.
And it's hard, dude. It's hard, especially if the person that offended you is a Christian.
Yes, bro.
It
what?
Sucks.
Bro, because you know the exact same thing that I know.
What do you mean?
Like, you know the same Bible that I know. You know the same Jesus that I know. And you're still
yes.
And you're still hurting me.
Yes.
And you know, I'm judging you by your humanity, not your fruit.
Oof, dude. Say it again one more time. Oh, dude, yes.
I'm judging you by your humanity and not your fruit. I'm judging you by your flesh. In reality, mm-hmm. we weren't meant to be flesh. We're meant to be spirit. Mm-hmm. And we're going to ascend into heaven. We're all going to be spirit. And this pain isn't going to exist anymore in heaven. No. We're all going to be joyful. We're all going to know each other as mm-hmm. brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're all going to rejoice and praise the same Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. But we were meant to be flesh whenever mm-hmm. we came here. Mm-hmm. We were born to be in flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes we just don't die to that. Mm-hmm. Mark, I'm so proud of you. Thanks. Just, you know, it brought a tear to my eye. Just, you know,
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that that testimony is going to save people from generations and generations, because I know so many people that have been sexually assaulted and so many people have not chosen the route of forgiveness, but chosen the route of just being crazy and being stupid and just saying, I'm going to do whatever the heck I want because I'm deserving of that. I'm entitled to that. Look at what people have done to me. So I can choose to do whatever I want. I get to hold the key. I'm going to drive this car wherever I want it to go. Mm-hmm. And you didn't choose that. Mm. Maybe as a kid, maybe a little bit, you went off the rails a little.
Oh, yeah.
But you were a kid. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know how to respond to that. I was just shocked. But like for those people that also like maybe kind of dealt with that, it's not going to be easy for them.
Yeah.
Especially like... especially if the gospel is not sunk into your heart yet, because it took a lot for me to say that. I didn't even want to share him the gospel, because I'm like, dude, I want you to burn in hell. Exactly.
Like, I don't want you to be a part of the kingdom. Exactly. Look at what you did to me.
Yes.
Look how you hurt me. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve heaven,
dude.
Do I deserve heaven?
No, we don't. And that's the thing. that's the humbling part about that. Is like the only thing that will heal me and I will heal you is Christ. And I think that's what happened. And that's why, like, the first time I talked to him about that, I was just in tears. And because I'm like, well, this is not easy for me to say, but I'm going to say it regardless.
And you overcame with your truth as well.
Yes.
You didn't beat around the bush. You
didn't
You told them the straight truth. Like, this is how you made me feel and this hurt.
Yeah.
But guess what? I'm going to forgive you and I love you.
Mm, yeah. And I think that's, again, to reassure the listeners, it's not going to be easy. Not at all. But there's beauty in laying down the offense before God. Because even if they're a Christian or not, God is still vengeance. God says that in Romans, that he's vengeance and vengeance is his. We might not see the immediate justice, but his justice is far beyond what we could ever think, because his justice is better than ours.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Let me encourage the listeners as well and the viewers. If you've offended someone, if you are the person that hurt someone, and you're getting a word bomb on you, I know that your first response is be like, I feel like crap. But understanding that Christ forgave you.
Amen. Dude, yes.
Christ forgave you and Christ loves you. And now also you have to understand that there is going to be discipline in that. Understanding that there is going to be some parameters and boundaries now that might not have been there before. But now that they're there, you can't be offended. You can't be hurt. There's parameters and boundaries that have hurt someone. And they say, I have to lay these down for my peace, for my sake, because I want to love you. And if we don't have these boundaries, I'm only going to have hatred and despise you.
That's facts. And I think also like for...
because I've had to do that with so many people, bro.
Yeah.
That have hurt me. Like, I had to lay down the boundaries where we can't hang out like we used to. I can't talk to you like we used to. I can't be friends with you anymore. I love you. I love you and I care about you. But we can't. I can't be the exact same way like we used to be. Like, it hurts to do that anyways.
Yeah, and I think that's what most people think is like forgiveness is like going back to the norm. Which it doesn't have to be like that. You can still forgive someone and not have it go back to the way it used to be.
And a lot of the times it's not going to go back to how it was.
Yes. Because I think forgiveness is more about letting go of the offense. That's what it is. And giving it to God.
And trust that, you know, the accountability people, like your mentors and your pastors and your friends, trust that their words are good for you. And saying, even though, like, this just makes me think of just a toxic relationship. Like, I don't know why. Because I've had so many people and I've counseled so many people going through toxic relationships in their life. They're like, hey, allow other people to be in it and trust that they hear from the Lord. And so whenever you bring it to God, that if he's saying the exact same thing, that's exactly what you should do. You should cut this tie. You can't be doing this anymore. Like, this is, you're not going to be freed if you don't put these boundaries and these parameters, because they hurt you.
Yeah, dude.
They hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's facts.
Don't be a pushover.
No. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And again, it's not forgiveness and being pushover are like antithetical. They're not like they don't contradict each other. It's more like you forgive them and by letting go of the offense, but you got to, like you said, set up the parameter and boundaries, mm-hmm. right? By not being pushed over, by like cutting them out and distancing yourself from them.
And it's difficult, bro. Like even with my dad, man, like whenever I expressed to him how he made me feel, he felt horrible and he felt awful, and he's a man of God. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how can a man of God cheat on my mother?
Mm. Yeah.
How can this person that was singing for the church, you know, leading worship, cheat on my mom? And then after that, leave and completely leave me when I was a 3-year-old. Mm. I told him all of that, not to guilt trip him, but to say my truth and to say my peace. Mm-hmm. I had to let that go. I had to let that out. It wasn't to the point where I couldn't just write it on my journal anymore.
Dang.
Like I had to, the Lord led me to say something to him.
Mm-hmm.
And with his response wasn't the greatest.
Mm.
But okay, I let it out.
Yeah.
And now I said it to the person that I needed to say it to. So now I understand, okay, this is how you responded. So this is what my boundaries are going to look like.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And yeah, do you have any encouragement for the listeners who first have been offended and how they should approach that offense, and to those who has offended someone and preach to them about the gospel, and how do they reconcile or repent and ask for forgiveness to the person they offended to?
Word that a little differently.
What would you say? Because we're about to kind of end our episode here now, but like, what would you say to those that have been offended by people that they looked up to, or people like they basically like very close to them? And how would you tell them or communicate to them the gospel? So there's that. There's the other people that are like, okay, these are the people that have offended others. Mm. How would you tell them about the gospel? And how would you have them find reconciliation with themselves, and at the same time find reconciliation with the people they've offended?
So with that first one, being an offender, offending people and hurting people, what I would tell them is exactly what the truth of the gospel is. You're forgiven. You're saved.
Yeah.
If you choose to make the Lord of your life, make the Lord God reign over your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're only going to struggle, and you're only going to fail, and you're only going to plummet down as far as you take it. Yeah. But if you give it to the Lord, if you actually surrender the things that are in your hands, your chains, like I see it sometimes as if like, we don't have the chains on our wrist, but we're holding on to it for some reason.
Mm.
Like for some reason, I just can't let go of this chain. But if I let it go, I'm free.
Mm.
Like it's not, I'm not.
You're not tied to
it. I'm not tied to it, but I'm holding this chain for some reason.
Mm.
And I just can't let it go. You're going to have to let it go, and you're going to have to surrender it to the Father. And those things that you've offended other people for, now the Lord's going to take you to a deeper place. Okay, why did you offend them?
Mm.
Okay, who offended you? Okay. Who are you struggling forgiving? Mm-hmm. And you're just going to go down this path. We're reading this book right now at the church called Sozo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a book about healing, deliverance, and prayer, and inserting the Lord into, okay, this is where an area where I really hurt in my life. Okay, God, where were you? Okay, now that I see you there, I choose to believe this differently. I choose to not believe this lie that the enemy has put in my head. God, I give this lie to you, and I repent for the lie that I believed.
Mm.
And just going through that process, and that process isn't going to be by yourself.
Mm.
You're going to have to understand, okay, I need accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I need people in my life. I need friends. I need a mentor. Mm. I need a pastor. I need my family. You can't just walk through a forgiveness cycle by yourself.
That's right.
Most importantly, you need the Lord in it.
Yeah.
And then the second question was...
the second was like to those that have offended people, and how do they...
That was the first one that I answered.
Yeah, but how they're going to reconcile with those that they've offended.
Like how are they going to connect back to them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's just going to take a lot of boldness and confidence in saying, hey, I hurt you. I know that this is something that, you know, I did in the past. I just want to let you know that I've been saved. I have been radically changed. I've been radically healed. And that person that you knew, I'm no longer that person. But if you still choose to believe me as that person, I understand. But I just want to offer my sorries to you,
mm-hmm.
and sorry for how I treated you. And now it's that other person's job to say, okay, do I choose this forgiveness? Or do I continue to act bitter and say, I need you to prove more to me?
Dang. Kind of like make up for what you did.
Yeah, like you need to, you got to pay your dues. And that reconciliation depends on the other person.
Yeah.
If they want to reconcile with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you initially, it's just doing the thing.
Yeah.
Like saying the apology, mm-hmm. saying you're sorry, saying that you're changed, saying that God's doing good things in your life.
Yeah.
That person could either believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And if they believe it, okay, let's get back together. Let's be friends again. Let's do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But again, now you have to understand there is going to be a boundary there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to take forever. And it's going to take for a minute for that wall to slowly break down. Eventually it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God heals all things.
Because God reveals and he heals all things.
Yeah.
And one thing with Mark's testimony is what I've realized is something the Lord is speaking to me is that continue to pray those big prayers
mm-hmm.
of the people that you want to be radically healed and saved.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, none of that thing that you told me about, the person that sexually assaulted you, is materialistic and of this world. All of that was spiritual. All of that was a spiritual cleansing and a spiritual healing. And quite frankly, that was signs and wonders. And that was a miracle.
I think it really was a miracle.
So listeners, be encouraged. Like that happens.
Mm.
Like I was tearing up over here, bro. Cause I was like, I didn't think that was possible sometimes. Like that was, as a kid, I didn't think that, you know, me forgiving my dad was actually going to do something. But just understand that forgiveness can heal you so much.
Amen.
That you aren't going to think the same.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't going to walk the same.
Yeah.
You aren't going to talk the same.
That's fact. Yeah. Remember the gospel. Go back to the gospel.
It.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like it's, again, it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. It's really going to be hard. But again, what Elias was saying, there's beauty in just forgiveness. And you'll realize that you're actually free once you, you'll realize you're actually free when you give that forgiveness to someone. Cause
like,
again,
like how stupid would it look like just to hold a chain just like this?
Yeah.
Like
and this. Not even shackled. By
They're not
the
even
chain.
Shackled. Like you're holding it.
Yeah.
And people are looking around you like, why are you holding this? Oh, it's because this person hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to hold tightly and I'm just going to grip onto it till I can't.
Mm.
And then you hold on and grip and
you're hurting.
Your hands are going to hurt.
Yeah.
But guess what? When you release it, okay, now there's time for those hands to heal.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, come on, you better say it. Oh, there you go.
That was tough.
That was good.
Pastor Elias.
That was good. You're right. You're right. And that's again, like you said it really well earlier. You're not going to do it by yourself. You have to do it with community.
Mm.
You have to include people in like you're hurting and also have to include God in it because you can't
do
it by
yourself. And that takes vulnerability.
Yeah.
And allowing yourself to look dumb, allowing yourself to look little, allowing yourself to say, even though these people, this is the craziest part, accountability gets you, and I'm looking straight at the camera because this is important. One of the things that I really struggled with in forgiveness was that I never saw what I did.
Mm.
And what accountability does is say, hey, but this is where you were thinking wrong.
Mm.
And this is where you got off. And this is where you got into the rabbit hole. And then this is where you, the Lord starts working on you and the lies of the enemy start becoming smaller.
Mm.
And so even in areas where you need to forgive people, you also need to forgive yourself for holding that grudge, for holding that lie, like forgiveness for yourself.
Mm.
So understanding that in accountability, it's not always going to be fun. They're not always going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like this shouldn't have happened. Oh, poor you. Like, no, they're going to correct you.
Yeah.
They're going to give you practical, godly advice of that they've walked through and give it to you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. All right, Elias, that's our episode for today. That was quick, but it was so good. That was quick.
Learned so much more about you. And I'm so thankful for who you are and who you've chosen to be. And you've not allowed the lie of the enemy to allow you to be bitter or corrupt, but you're walking in the truth of the gospel and who Jesus has called you to be.
We're trying. It's hard.
It's so difficult. But again, it's constantly dying to yourself and repenting every single day and changing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's a godly mindset. That's a sound mind.
Thank you, man. I'm proud of you too, dude. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you hearing the podcast,
being able
to pour out. Pour your heart out.
This is our first one-on-one.
It's our first one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Cool. Okay. This is our date. That's okay.
It's our date. No, I'd rather go on a different date.
Okay.
A hot date.
Okay.
With
a
woman.
Okay.
All right. My wife.
Oh.
That I know who it is.
Does she know?
Does she know? Amen. She's there. She's beautiful.
She's there. Okay.
And she's beautiful. She's exactly what I want.
Okay.
And for you too, man.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Don't be scared. We'll see about that.
We'll see about that.
What desire do you have a desire to be married in your heart?
Heck yeah.
Then God's going to fulfill that. So get out of that.
Don't get my hopes up.
Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, don't get my hopes up. Like
bro,
that.
You have a desire. Do you have a desire to be a father?
Yes.
God's going to honor that.
Okay.
Is this a chain you're holding?
Okay. Now that's going to be a different topic.
Is this a chain you're holding?
For another episode of the podcast.
Am I going to have to slap it out of your hand?
Nah. That's another topic.
I love you, bro.
I love you too, my man.
Yeah.
But dude, do you want to close this out in prayer?
Yeah, man.
All right, let's do it.
Lord, thank you so much just for this time that we were able to be vulnerable and talk about, you know, a little bit of our testimony and things that we've struggled in, especially in forgiveness and holding grudges and holding ties and holding lies from the enemy that became so true to us that we didn't even think once or twice about it. But Father God, thank you so much through the truth of the gospel and through the truth of who Jesus was and through the truth of his forgiveness, and that we are reminded that we are to forgive others even whenever we don't want to, even when we don't feel it, even whenever we don't want even people to taste your kingdom. Father, thank you so much that we're able to forgive others, and forgiveness is for ourselves, and it's for our personal growth and our development in our walk with you. And Lord, I pray for the people on the other end of forgiveness that you soften their hearts, even though they've been hurt, even though they've walked through some things and they didn't understand why they did what they did to you. But Lord, I just pray that you continue to encounter them. And I pray over offenders, Father, that they, the people that they're apologizing to or whatever the case may be, that, you know, you soften the other person's heart to where they can be in relationship with them again, Father. Lord, you are good and you heal and you bring all things and you make all things new, and you turn anything that the enemy meant for evil and you make it good. Yes. So Father God, I pray that you make horrible circumstances good, Father God. I pray that you make miraculous wonders in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I pray that signs and wonders and miracles happen as long as we choose for them to be true, and as long as we true to believe that. So Father God, thank you for this conversation. We pray over every single heart, every listener, every watcher, Father. Lord, we pray if there's any conviction that was in this process that was not of us, but it was of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting our hearts and helping us change and repent and change our mind. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. Yeah. And we honor you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, that's good.
That was so fun.
Yes. Anyways. Well, listeners, thank you for listening for the podcast. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, suggestions, or corrections, you can email us at cashoutpodcast2023@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And as always, guys, stay awesome. You guys have a good day.
Deuces.
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 That's your thing. Deuces.
Deuces. Yeah.
Thanks for catching up with us on the Catch Up Podcast. If you enjoyed our God-centered conversations, share the love by sharing this on your social media or leave a review. Don't forget to tune in next week for more uplifting chats. Until next time, we will catch you on the next episode of the Catch Up Podcast.